Good morning, Greg.
KB.
Can they jump the queue, the Pies? Can they jump the queue?
Look, you're quite right, though. I think that, you know, we wouldn't have thought St Kilda was in a position to even challenge Collingwood earlier in the season. But judged on last week's games, I think it's going to be a ripper contest tonight. But there's a lot of factors. I mean, you know, you've got to look at the fact that Collingwood have been really... Both clubs have been really hard hit by injury. The loss of the midfielders Greenwood and Sidebottom, especially at Collingwood. Reed hasn't come up yet. He's still playing seconds footy. And I think St Kilda, their kids have come on well. So it's interesting. It's going to be a really interesting contest. People still in doubt. Adams and Pendlebury in doubt for the Pies. Obviously, Nick Riebold in doubt for St Kilda. Yep. They're both at different stages of their development. It's Well,
are we looking at the demise of the Collingwood Football Club and Carlton at the one time? These two great clubs, are they falling apart at the same time?
I think Collingwood's rebuild is well ahead of Carlton's. Carlton's are pretty much, even though they've attempted to do it for 2 years, but they might not have done it well. I think Collingwood's rebuild is right in there, and I think that Nathan Buckley, as Eddie and Nathan said, I remember going back to the 2013 annual general meeting when they had a... They basically told us that they were going to clear out a lot of, or improve the culture. Maybe they were going to clear out a lot of players that weren't on Buckley's list for the future, which they've done. A lot of people think that they went a bit too early with guys that should have maybe stuck around for a bit longer. I think that one of the big problems for the Pies, and it's not their fault, is as I mentioned, Reed hasn't quite come up yet, but he's not
been
far
injured
away.
For a couple of years,
I know.
I think
of all their planning, and I really think their recruiting's been okay, but they never planned to lose Beams. I mean, he was the player that they didn't think obviously would leave. And on the other hand, you've got St Kilda, an emerging team with a really emerging list. 70% of their players are under 23. About the same percentage.
Collingwood or St Kilda? Is St Kilda and the Bulldogs, I'd like to ask the fans this, is St Kilda and the Bulldogs better positioned than the two great powerhouse clubs in Carlton and Collingwood into the future?
I think you can say St Kilda's in a better position to go forward than Carlton, okay? I don't know if you can say that about Collingwood yet, but I say that with also reference to salary cap pressure. I mean, St Kilda can actually keep getting more players in at the end of this season, lower key players that they've done in the last couple of years, and then... they're going to be in a magnificent position at the end of next year with further development of their list to actually go out and get a huge player, a big high-profile player, just to add to their list to take the place of Nick Riebold. Now, you've bagged me for a year now about their list, and I keep telling you, these kids there, Billings, Loney, Sinclair, Dunstan, Ross, who's not playing. I'm not sure we haven't seen Blake Akers this year. We don't know how good McCartan is. And they've got bad injuries. I mean, to do what they did last week, particularly in that second quarter when they blew Gold Coast away without Montagna playing, I mean, that was just phenomenal. And I think it gave us a little quick sneak preview of what to expect from the Saints coming up in the next couple of years.
Okay, St Kilda fans, at last, maybe some hope after last week's game was pretty uplifting for the Saints. I notice the two great clubs seem to be vying for James Ashe, Collingwood and Carlton. Back page story today by Johnny Ralph after James Ashe, of course, who got dropped last week. He was fourth in the NAB Rising Star last year. So Collingwood and Carlton, we're told, are the two clubs that's leading the chase for James Ashe. Not South Australian clubs, but Collingwood and Carlton.
Yeah, look, early days there. There's a couple of sides to this story. Why does he want to leave? If it's purely for money, should we be giving Brisbane financial help? Should we be giving them back that player location allowance that was taken off them in 2006? I mean, this is on the back, and we're not saying that he is leaving, but if he does leave and he hasn't wanted to re-sign yet,
the Lions think he's leaving. I'll tell you that now.
Right. Okay. Then that means that Doherty, Polak, Yeo going back 2 years, now him. I mean, that's just not on. If they're going for financial reasons and not because they think there's something wrong at the footy club like there was with some of those players before with welfare issues, etc., then I'm wondering if the AFL need to step in and bring back that retention allowance, because footy, I heard you and Patrick talking about it, footy in Queensland's not travelling that well at the moment.
So you want the Brisbane Lions to get some salary cap relief again? I don't think the footy fans are going to be happy with that,
I think it's a debate, because the go-home factor has cost them many players over the years, but in reverse, they got Dane Beams in
and
reverse.
And Christensen.
Well, that was a different, that wasn't
but
a go-home factor. They picked them up, yeah. But they got definitely got Beams for the go-home factor. So, you know, it hasn't all been one-way traffic. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens with A. She's back playing this weekend for Brisbane. You're very confident that Brisbane think that he's gone.
They do.
They think
he's gone.
Okay. And the other question is, the other question when we talk about that is how long should a draftee, and depending where he's drafted, if it's first round onwards, how long should he be made to stay at that footy club? Because we've had increasingly in the last few years, Tom Scully was probably the first that went after 2 years. They used to stay a bit longer than that. Not so much anymore.
Tom Boyd?
Yeah, well, that was an amicable agreement, I think, in the end, 1 year after 1 year, that Bulldogs wanted him, GWS didn't mind him going. So I think if it's amicable, that's okay.
That's up to a club, isn't it, to make certain that player, when he's drafted, that he likes that club, he likes the environment, he likes what he's seeing there, he likes administration, he likes the coach, he likes his development. I don't think you can put a time frame on someone being drafted, because straight away, let's face it, kids get drafted to clubs that they may not want to go to. They may have to move interstate. So I think it's unfair to say that someone's drafted, you've got to stay at this club for 3 years or 4 years. That's completely unfair.
Well, there's got to be
some.
You
know what? I didn't want to go there in the first place.
Well, there's got to be some time frame, Kevin. People spend thousands of dollars to develop and bring on these kids from the draft, and then just to leave and for another club to reap the benefit. I'm not so sure.
But they reap the benefit by getting someone else from another club.
Yeah, but I mean, specialist treatment. That players are drafted for a specific reason. Clubs see something they really like in them. And then if they've got a good development system behind them, I think that they should. And players take a lot longer, Kevin, you know that, than 1 or 2 years to benefit from these systems.
There's some rivalry games this week. It's not rivalry round this week, is it?
Well, it sort of is, Kev.
You've got West Coast taking on Fremantle. You've got Sydney taking on the Giants. You've got Carlton taking on the Bombers.
You've got the showdown in Adelaide. So, look... It certainly is, and especially in Adelaide and Perth, both states will be going crazy over their local derbies, the showdown in Adelaide, the Derby, Western Derby in Perth. So, no, good round, actually. Really good round.
What would you like to see from your club this weekend in round 3, 9-4-2-9-11-16? I noticed Philip Walsh, too, new coach, of course, of Adelaide, has come out and said he doesn't like the substitute. He said because it's never been part of our game and shouldn't be part of our game. And he says interchange has never been part of our game and shouldn't be part of our game as well, Greg. At long last, we're getting someone now talking a bit of sense.
Well, he's
coming into the game talking sense.
He's been around for a long time. He's obviously listened to you yesterday and thought that's a pretty good idea, and I'll repeat that. You like what he heard from you.
Michael Clarke has just been announced the new skipper of the Melbourne Stars as well. David Hussey will captain the Stars for the games Clarke misses whilst he's playing test matches for Australia. We'll take a break. 9-4-2-9-11-16. You can always set the sporting agenda leading into a big weekend of sport. What are you looking forward to the most? 9-4-2-9-11-16, 04-33-98-11-16 if you want to send.
Welcome back.
Well, Kevin, I could just have to say, I slip of the tongue there. Sorry about that. I said that there was a showdown, so I meant to say derby.
Derby.
So.
Okay, let's take some calls. 9-4-2-9-11-16. Not the first slip of the tongue from you, Greg. Sam is in Malvern. G'day, Sam.
Oh, g'day, KB. Just on Alex Rance, you might be able to help me out here, but I believe the guy's got a pilot licence and he's pretty passionate about it.
Look, I don't know that myself, Sam. Greg may know whether he's got a pilot's license. Well, you're suggesting he wants to fly for Qantas or something like that.
He may be part of future grand final proceedings and fly over to MCG in a jumbo.
Now, what was that story? I've only heard a bit of the audio coming from the Channel 9 footy show, I think it was. Damien Barrett saying that it's not other clubs chasing Alex Rance. In fact, he reckons and says that maybe Fremantle's gone a bit cold on Alex Rance at the moment, and that what's holding up Alex Rance is that maybe he does want to play football after the end of this season, wants to go off and do other things. But I haven't heard what he wants to do. I don't know whether Damien Barrett actually said what Alex Rance wants to do if he's not playing AFL footy.
I think it was mentioned too that Brisbane are going to have a red-hot crack at him, which I think they should. I think everyone who needs a key defender should, but my question to you, Kev, you reckon a 25-year-old would turn his back on between 800 and a million a year?
Well, I'd be surprised. There's a lot of things you can do in your life, and Alex Rance, let's face it, football's...
He's only got another 4 or 5 years.
Well, football is only a game that maybe you play, say, till your early 30s. So, for most people, that is. So, he's got plenty of time if he wants to be a pilot or, you know, fly jets or something like that. Mm. But he didn't actually say what he thought Alex Rance would be doing. This is what Brett Deledio had to say in discussing Rance last night on The Footy Show.
Certainly doesn't stand out because, I mean, judging by the way he's playing at the moment, unbelievable passion and want to win every contest that he's in. But, look, Rance is his own man and he'll come to whatever decision he wants to. But we will support him fully as teammates and as a footy club. And for my sake, fingers crossed, it all gets sorted out.
Well, we've just been told that maybe he flies planes. Now, if you can confirm that for us, give us a buzz or send through an SMS. But if you know why Alex Rance may want to give up football to do something, which we haven't been told yet, give us a buzz and give us a leg up.
You honestly reckon Richmond teammates would rally around Rance and fully support him if he came out in September or August when they finish their season before the finals and say, I'm retiring? Please.
Well, if he's not going to another club. If he's off to do something else, Greg,
would be moving,
you'd wish him well.
Heaven and earth. To re-sign.
Others are saying, I believe Alex has a commercial pilot's license and is very passionate about it. Okay, also, can I just say this? The naming of Michael Clarke as captain of the Stars, straight away, I don't understand why people dislike Michael Clarke so much. The Stars naming Michael Clarke as captain is beyond belief. What the hell is going on? This is a really bad publicity stunt or something dodgy is behind the appointment. I can't think of a single reason why this is a good idea. Others are saying, I was a Stars man, now I'm on the Renegades. Michael Clarke is a flog. I mean, this is SMS is coming through. This is the Australian captain. Why do people don't like Michael Clarke?
I don't know. I thought it would have been an absolute marketing bit of genius by Eddie Maguire.
Captain of the Stars and the Big Bash, then all of a sudden he gets bashed off the SMSs.
I don't know.
Mick's on the road, wants to talk about James H. G'day, Mick.
How are you, boys?
Good.
Who do you follow, Mick?
I follow the Brisbane Lions.
Okay.
This is a joke, as Greg said before, and it's always the same Victorian clubs that hone in on these four non-footy states football clubs. They can't rebuild themselves, so they go in for those teams and try to pick out the talent there. But KB, you said we had one come our way in Beans, first one in 30 years of Brisbane's existence.
And Christensen.
Well, not really. I mean, Maloney went up there a couple of years ago from Melbourne as a free agent.
Stephen Martin's up there.
I mean, there's been a lot. There's been a few. But I guess we're really talking about kids that are really new
Staker?
To the competitions. You know, I think the fact that, you know, what's age? He'd be lucky to be 20, wouldn't he?
Well, he was...
We're talking about young talent.
Yes. He was fourth in the NAB Rising Star last year. Mm. How much do you rate him, Mick? You rate him highly?
Age?
Yeah.
Oh, he's very smooth. He's going to be a very good player. And what are we going to get for him?
Look, he hasn't gone yet, Mick. He hasn't gone
he's
yet.
He's gone, Greg. Oh. Come the end of the year, he's gone.
Okay.
But they'll get something for him. They'll get something for him. They'll deal for him. I mean, he can't just walk out and disappear without them getting something for him.
Trade, yeah.
Luke is in Craigieburn. G'day, Luke.
Hey, how are you, boys?
Good, Lukey.
That's good. I'm here to talk about the Tigers and Greg at Negative Denim. I heard you talking to Trout yesterday, and you laughed when you said that Richmond won't win against Brisbane. I can't wait to ring you next Thursday and rip one in you.
No. I didn't say Richmond. I think Richmond will beat Brisbane this week. I said that I didn't think they'd make the eight this year, and there's a stake hanging on that. And I'm going to have to buy Trout two stakes next year if the Tigers make the eight. So,
and you still maintain...
That'd be a tragedy. Shocking.
You still maintain St Kilda's got a better list than the Richmond Football
better
Club.
Better young list. Yes, I do. Better young players, emerging young talent. Kev, you
maybe
play...
Maybe Collingwood at Carlton, but they haven't got a better list than Richmond.
Kevin, Richmond keeps playing all these rookies, 24-year-old, mature age. Where's your kids? Where's Lennon?
Well, I don't know. He's,
no,
he's down
not.
At the club, but is yeah. he injured?
I don't know. I'm not playing.
No, but he might be injured, Greg. I don't know the full injury list down at Tigerland, but
well,
he's a very talented young kid.
Number one ticket holder down there. You should know everything about
Richmond.
I'm not
the number one ticket holder. If you know why Lennon is not playing, give Greg a call. Luke, thanks for that. Tony's in Lower Templestowe. G'day, Tony.
Yeah, good morning, Kevin and Greg. Greg, first and foremost, mate, thank you for bringing this player retention issue up with the Brisbane Lions. The fact of the matter is this, guys. GWS need that money. Gold Coast need that money. Sydney needed that money. They abused that privilege. Now, during the golden era of the Brisbane Lions, name me one player, when they got that player retention, mate, name me one player of the caliber of a Buddy Franklin or a Tippett or whoever it may be that they poached or that they tried to bring up up north using that money. Those players actually got, they took pay cuts to stay together and win those three flags. Now, what annoys me is people like Eddie Maguire, he's the one that, he's the reason why that retention money was taken off, because it was nothing more than a vendetta, because they lost two grand finals, and he said that they'll never be beaten, no one will bring this mob down. They took the money down, they took the money off them, and they went down like the Hindenburg ever since. And it's got to be reintroduced, because I'm sick and tired of seeing these young kids leaving, and they're all first round draft picks, and we get nothing but second or third round picks for them, because you have no choice. And it's just got to stop, because Queensland football is on its knees and something needs to be done, and it has to start with the Brisbane Lions.
The funny thing is, Eddie did have a lot to do with it. Eddie was emphatic that that had to go because everyone in Melbourne was getting jealous of Brisbane winning premierships. But in fact, that player location allowance was actually available to all clubs if they had a list of 40%, less than 40% of local talent on their list. So, I mean, it could have been available to a Melbourne club, but that just doesn't happen here because most of the Melbourne club, Victorian clubs' lists comprise of local kids. It could have gone to Fremantle or West Coast. But at the time, and I'm not sure the percentage of Brisbane's list at the moment, I think it would be a bit higher than what it was
but
then.
Did all those kids leave because they didn't have money to pay them, Greg, or did they leave for other reasons? Because
as I said,
at that stage, they weren't the big money earners.
No, right? But as I said, at the end of 2013, when Doherty, Pollock, Yeo, Carnesi's longer left, I don't think that was a financial issue. I think that they weren't really well looked after. There was something wrong at the club at the time.
Right.
The administration wasn't as good as it is now, and I think there were certain welfare issues attached to that. That's what I said. If it was purely based on money, I think that there's a debate out there that the club could probably get it back.
And they went for Brendan Favola as well?
Well, if you're a Brisbane fan... In all fairness, it was Michael Voss, I think, in his first year of coaching, certainly in his infancy of coaching, relied on the decision of somebody else up there, and it was just so wrong.
Ben Lennon is not on the Richmond injury list, Greg, for your information. He's been named on the wing in Richmond's VFL team, which takes on Coburg tomorrow. Quick break. Sports Central coming up. Coming back with your calls, 9429-1116. You set the sport. And you can continue any conversation you like with Greg Venom-Denham. Just go around to his house, Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. His phone number there is 9428-6895. Give a call and say hello to Greg. Of course, don't forget the Spready is open for lunch on Anzac Day. So you can book a table before heading to the G on Saturday week, or stay and watch all the games in comfort on the four big screens there. So lunch and dinner on Anzac Day, the Spread Eagle is the place to be. That's what we call real Richmond hospitality. Janine is from Narre Warren, wants to talk about Michael Clark. G'day, Janine.
G'day, KB. Hello, Greg.
G'day, Janine.
Do you like Michael Clark, or are you a Michael Clark hater?
I can't understand why people see this as a negative. I think this will be great experience for our young guys, and to play with someone with Michael's experience. And I don't get the negativity, Kev. I can't understand it. People go, oh, you won't play because of the test matches. Well, if people ever considered perhaps the Ashes in England, maybe his last test series?
Well, more than likely, I would suspect it will be.
Anyway, I agree with Janine.
I think there's a general feeling that maybe after the Ashes series that Michael Clark may step down.
Yeah, but I agree with Janine. I just think for the Big Bash, it's an absolute coup.
Well, if those haven't caught up with the news, Michael Clark has been appointed captain of the Stars. Now, straight away, as soon as that happens, the anti-Michael Clark people jump on the line. because there's something about Michael Clarke they don't like. Well, they don't tell us, they just say they don't like him.
The Scorchers will get the money anyway again, so it doesn't really matter.
Janine, thanks for that. George is on the road, wants to talk about James Aish. And there's a big story today by The Buzz saying that Collingwood and Carlton lead the chase for the Star Lion teenager. Good day, George.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good.
Just bemused to hear this talk about Carlton and Collingwood with regards to James Aish. My understanding is Adelaide Football Club are knee-deep into him and he's keen to get there.
Oh, look, I wouldn't surprise me one bit. I think Ralphie mentioned that it was interest was waning a little bit, some words to that effect anyway. But if he goes anywhere, I would have thought he was going home to Adelaide. Very famous name over there in South Australian footy. But we don't know the reasons why he wants to leave. And if he wants to get better paid and come to Melbourne, well, he'll come here.
Have you got some mates in Adelaide, George, that have tipped you off?
I'm from Adelaide, actually. I'm just on the road, headed back now after touching up Collingwood last weekend and heading home to do the same to the D's.
If you've celebrated long enough, how long have you been here?
Well, only 7 days. It takes a while to get over these things.
Well, Johnny Ralph says the surprise is that the dual Sandford Premiership player with Norwood has Victorian clubs chasing him harder than Port Adelaide or Adelaide. But, George, you're saying that's a furphy.
I'm saying that's a furphy. Adelaide knee-deep into him.
Knee-deep into him. Thank you, George. See, now Ralphie. George says Ralphie is, that's a furphy.
Well, you've come out today and gone one ahead of Ralphie and said that he's certainly leaving Brisbane.
I know he's leaving Brisbane. Where he's going to, Greg, I'm not certain.
Okay. You've been talking to Greg Swan?
They believe up there that he's leaving. Mick is in Roval. G'day, Mick.
Yeah, g'day, KB and Greg. Yeah, just wanted to talk about the countdown clock on the coverage, just in particular the Essendon Hawthorn game. If you go back and actually have a look at the last few seconds, there's 2 seconds on the clock just after Rioli's kicked the ball, and then it goes off the screen, which means there's 1 second of countdown. So by my calculations, the siren should have gone just before Ruffhead and Hurley contested that ball. So the siren should have gone before Bruce got the ball, because there's a lot of people talking about those extra 3 seconds and there was a bounce down, but Hawthorn actually got a few extra seconds. So my question is, the countdown clock should be in sync with the timekeeper, but is it the case that maybe the TV coverage is a little bit ahead of that?
I can't explain that because I was at the game and probably looking at the play and not at the clock at the time. But I do know someone who was sitting right next to the Essendon coaching box, a very high-ranking Essendon official, who thought the clock went to zero just before Hawthorn grabbed hold of the ball. So Bruce got hold of the ball. So he said to me after the game, "Oh, gee, if they had to kick the goal, I would have been a little bit disappointed." But look, it's pretty much always in sync, I think, with the timekeeper. But I'm not sure what I can't give you an exact answer there. But you're not the first person that's actually brought that to our attention.
But just on that, I'd like to ask the fans, when we do have a recall at the centre bounce.
No, it's not about that.
I know that, Greg, but right. When we do have a recall at the centre bounce,
we know the rule.
We lose a couple of seconds.
Yeah, we know the rule, though.
But I want to ask the fans, Greg, should we lose those couple of seconds if that is the case, or should it be that it's reset to go back for that centre bounce, or should it be the time clock will only start when, you know, like in basketball, when someone actually, you know, takes possession of the ball?
You probably have to keep,
or touches the
you
ball.
Have to keep the clock ticking, because if there's a free kick paid, no matter that it is a recall, if someone's decked in the centre circle, well, it's a free kick.
But if it's a recall, we must be able to say, well, you know, it's gone 2 seconds since we bounced the ball. We'll just go back those 2 seconds.
Kevin,
because there's some games, Greg, where we have, and we've seen it, where the umpire sometimes bouncing's not so good. And, you know, you might have 3 or 4 times during a game where the bouncers are crook. So there might be 10 seconds disappearing somewhere, Greg.
In the whole context of a game that goes for far too long, I don't think that's relevant.
Well, it is relevant if we've got timekeepers and we've got to make certain that there's time on and time off all the time, Greg. That here's, I mean, is it that hard to actually reset the clock for those seconds when you actually recall it from a centre bounce? If not, why don't just let the ball go? If it's a quick bounce, it's a quick bounce.
They may well miss half a second for every boundary throw in. I mean, you know, I reckon that's a long bow, Kev. Long bow.
Jack is in Frankston. G'day, Jack.
Hello, Kevin.
G'day.
I've got a bit of a worry.
Yes.
I'm worried about the way the tackling's developed.
This is with players being crashed into the ground.
Yeah, they're head first. Like Jimmy Bartel.
Yep.
Melsham from Essendon on Saturday.
Jack, if the AFL feels that there's a double action or there's a slinging action, then there's a free kick paid and also a player can be reported. But if a player tackles in the what they say is the correct fashion and ties up a player and then they both go to ground and then one unfortunately hits his head or shoulder, then that's just part of, you know, the game. But you have some problems with that.
I think it's part of the game. I think it's not what our game's about.
Mm. No, no, I understand.
Tackling's very vigorous these days and you know, there's big bodies there and they take players to the ground. But unless at the moment there's a slinging action or there's a second action in dumping the player or lifting the player up, that's seen as part of the game.
Yeah, but it doesn't even have to be that. I think that from memory... Now,
so what changes would you make, Jack?
Hey?
What change would you make? I mean, obviously players are going to tackle in a ferocious manner.
Well, you can tackle and tackle them to the ground, but don't bash them that last few inches.
Yeah,
If you do that, I mean, if there's a second action in doing that, but if it's all in the one action, someone tackles somebody in the one action and the force of their body takes that player to the ground in the one action and he unfortunately hits his head or hurts his shoulder, at the moment, the game doesn't cover that for a free kick.
Yeah, I think the worst thing is the Bartel one. I'm not even sure the match review panel looked at that. But what you got to remember...
Well, they would have looked at it.
Kevin, it wasn't mentioned in the match review panel report, I don't think, from memory. But in any rough conduct, whether it be tackling or whatever, the match review panel have been instructed that the potential... They can include the potential for damage can be included in the impact clause. So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I wondered why some people are classed as low and not medium and vice versa. Now, they take into account the potential, like kicking in danger, for example, the potential. So I think that they're going to have a look at that tackling. And if a bloke is dumped to the ground, well, potentially that could lead to a concussion, whatever. And I think that that can be a charge.
But if he's actually dumped with a second action, Greg, or lifted up, or it's a sling tackle, that's covered. What you're saying,
but I don't think
but
it
what
has
you're
to
saying
be,
and Jack is saying,
have
we'll
to
get
be
some
a
feedback
sling
from our listeners on this. I mean, what Jack is saying is that the tackling is too hard and too ferocious. Even if you tackle in a correct manner,
well, if
the force
is
of
left...
your body taking the guy to the ground is crashing these guys into the ground, hitting their heads or shoulders.
But I don't think you can unnecessarily make the bloke so vulnerable that he can't protect his head. Okay? Common sense.
So how do you get around that, Greg? If someone puts their arms around a bloke who's got the ball because they're frightened he's going to handball it, so they wrap their arms around the opposition player, and in doing that, because they've got some momentum, they go forward and they fall to the ground, and the person can't put his hand out, we know, and he hits his head. So what do the fans want under those circumstances? Do they want to ride with that, or do they want a free kick paid against the person who was the tackler?
Well, it's a case-by-case, you know, study on that one. It's a case-by-case example.
No, but you've got to have a criteria. What are you paying
the
free kick for?
I haven't got the rule in front of me.
No,
but
what's
I think
the criteria?
The rule,
if the person hits his head on the ground...
Rough conduct.
It's a free kick. Rough conduct.
Yeah. I think there's a rule there in place that covers all that. It's just up to the way that either a free kick's paid or the interpretation if you go to the match review
panel. So if you tackle too strongly and your force takes a person to the ground and hits his head on the ground, you'd like to see a free kick paid for
rough
conduct.
I think that's in the rule now. I don't think... I just think that they should look at all those ones.
I think it's only in the rule, Greg, if there's a double action or a slinging action. I don't think if you tackle correctly and just the weight of your body causes both players to go to ground and in doing that the player hits his head, there's no free kick for that.
Sometimes it can be classed as accidental, yes, and sometimes not, okay? So what Jack's saying, that he didn't think that a couple of the instances in the first two rounds have been accidental. That's what I would suggest.
We'll take a break. Give
just
us your thoughts.
A reminder, the Spready is open for lunch on Anzac Day, so book a table before heading to the G on Saturday week or stay and watch all the games in comfort on their four big screens. For lunch or dinner on Anzac Day, the Spread Eagle is the place to be. Real Richmond Hospitality. Drop in or call the Spread Eagle Hotel on 94286895 and have a chat to Greg Venom Denham. Graham is from Randwick in Sydney. G'day, Graham.
Kev and Greg, thanks for taking the call.
Sweet.
Pleasure. You want to talk about Sydney?
Yeah, I don't get a chance to listen much, but it's good when I do.
Thank you.
An earlier caller actually mentioned the COLA.
Cost of living allowance, yes, for Brisbane.
Made for Sydney. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that there's an impression held in Melbourne that perhaps is not very clear up here about Sydney abusing that. And I'd just like your opinion on that, because nobody's actually explained it to the satisfaction of anybody that I can talk to.
Do you want to explain why it's not available now?
No, I want to know why Sydney were penalised.
By not having it, you mean? Taking it off
no,
them?
No, I mean...
They couldn't recruit someone last year.
They weren't allowed to trade.
Oh, was last year? You talking about last year?
They're not allowed to trade beyond a certain salary adjustment.
Yeah, it's small compensation for that. I think it was the most ridiculous outcome made by the AFL for 5 years last year. It was ridiculous, and I think they've sort of gone back on it and brought in the fact that you can trade certain players and not others. It was an overreaction. I think that Cole probably still should be in. The cost of living is still exorbitant up there. I personally think that. I don't think, once again, like the Brisbane retention money from before and that, it was an overreaction by Melbourne clubs and they were very jealous.
It was brought in by the AFL and now the AFL is turning around saying to Sydney that it was the wrong decision and all of a sudden cut them off at the knees. They have got a little bit of compensation, haven't they, Greg?
For the young kids, yes.
Where they'll be able to...
pay their rent, basically.
You know, up to a player up to about $300,000, they'll be able to get into the club, you know, at the end of this year if they want to. But it did hurt them last year. I thought it was very, very tough on them as well, Graham. I thought it was most unnecessary because it was running out within, what, 2 years or something, Greg?
Yeah.
And it should have been allowed to,
there's
to
been,
run its
there's
course.
Been, Graham, there has been, Patrick Smith led the way, there has been a lot of criticism of that decision last year.
Graham, thanks for joining us. Nick is in Hoppers Crossing. G'day, Nick.
Good morning, KB and Greg.
Yes. G'day, Nick.
Just wanted to bring up the Michael Clark saga. Now,
yeah. Do you like him?
No, I don't hate him, but I've learned to respect the guy for a lot of things, which I won't go into a lot. But my only worry is, my personal opinion, is he could be injured again. What would happen in that case? But otherwise, there's not a real rule. I don't have a real big problem with it at all.
It's
because
only...
he also said... he didn't want to play 2020, so all of a sudden maybe people are also against him slightly because of that. But otherwise, I don't have an issue.
Well, for a long time when the IPL first started up, I mean, Michael Clark didn't go off and play IPL. He wasn't one of those players who just chased the cash. He's getting towards the end of his career. And look, I think it's marvellous pick up by the Stars that Michael Clark's going to be playing for them and be captain when he's not representing Australia. But as soon as the name Michael Clark gets mentioned, the amount of negativity towards Michael Clark, yet, he's been a magnificent cricketer for the country. He's been a great captain, a successful captain. He led the country and his team and his teammates well during the death of Phil Hughes. He's had injury setbacks with hamstrings and backs. And, he should be a much admired Australian sports star. But for some reason, I don't know why, but he polarises the sporting community. I'd love to hear why people dislike Michael Clark. What has he done that has caused people to dislike him? Len is in Heidelberg Heights. G'day, Len.
G'day, Kev. I have to agree with your partner there that if the umpire lets the ball be in play, rightly or wrongly, for 30 seconds, if a player is reported, if a player is jobbed, if something happens dramatically, he has to be reported. And if it's not live, of course not. But, let's say you did what you want to do. If somebody king hits somebody, he can't be reported and he can't be got by video because the game's not on. I mean, it's just a simple question.
I think they can still be reported. I think that got changed many years ago when Brisbane when something happened?
Jonathan Brown
was at quarter time.
Well,
one of the breaks.
It was in play or not in play.
And I think they took that out in terms of he got off because it wasn't in play. It was during a break, but they've changed that. But, Len, it's not generally 30 seconds. Generally, the umpire blows the whistle within 2 or 3 seconds as soon as he realises that ball has bounced at an angle that is not going to be contested fairly by both sides. He blows the whistle. So we're only talking a matter of a couple of seconds, but we have seen a number of games where sometimes there's been 4 or 5 recalled bounces. So that does add up to 10 seconds. And we do seem to be pretty pedantic, Greg, that, time on and time off. Now, here's an example where 10 seconds could be wasted during the course of the game. And it was highlighted the other day with the Hawthorn game. But irrespective of that, I think people have been thinking about this for quite a while. Why, if we have a recalled bounce, is that time
not given back to the game. We'll take a break. 9429 1116. We're coming back with Greg. Ian's out there on the road. Ian's out on the road. G'day, Ian.
How are you, Kev? How are you, Greg?
Good morning, pal.
Look, I'm just ringing up. I do quite a bit of timekeeping at the local football level each week.
Yep.
And I would say it would be impossible to adjust a countdown clock on the run, because the situation is the umpires are in control of when the time clock is going to stop. That's not the responsibility of the timekeeper. The timekeeper's responsibility is to stop it when he's instructed, either with a raised hand yep. or other motions that a field umpire gives.
Well, we're unfortunately, Ian, we are coming right up to the 10 o'clock news. We'll take some more calls afterwards, and if there's more to add, we'll have a chat to you then, Ian, because Friday Sports Chat is coming up with DC and Neil Barmish. We wave Greg goodbye.
Cheers, pal.